and welcome to NWR Newscast episode 5 for November 10th, 2009. I'm your host, I'm Andy Gergen, and with me today is Neil Ronahan.
Hey everybody.
And Zach Miller.
What the hell?
You know, I was wondering why my glass of water was shaking. I should have seen that coming.
Maybe it's the power trying to come back on.
Okay, so on today's episode, we're going to go over the normal things. We're going to go over the downloads for the past couple of weeks on WiiWare Virtual Console and DSiWare, talk about some new releases, and then hit up a few news stories. First up tonight, we're going to talk about what we're reviewing right now in a little segment I like to call What You're Reviewing.
Hey-o.
For very, very creative reasons.
Hey, at least it's not what you've been playing. It's what you're reviewing.
That's true.
It's something that I don't think – I mean, taking the G's off of words, that's unheard of.
Yeah. This is not new business. This is what you're reviewing. Yep. It's a totally different segment.
Completely different.
Hey, Neil, what are you reviewing?
So I've been playing a lot of soccer lately on my Wii.
That's right.
And as you know, anyone who might be familiar with, you know, what I'm all about is
the children.
I'm a fan of the. Yes, I'm all about the children, just like Pele in Academy of Champions, which. Academy of Champions, you know, I think a lot of people wrote it off as, you know, just like, you know, some kind of kiddie crappy soccer game.
Harry Potter with soccer.
And that's what I was doing
ball.
Too. Yeah, Harry Potter with soccer and everything. Until I was at the Ubisoft booth. Actually, I think I was over there with Lauren and we were just playing Rabbids Go Home, which is awesome. And then Academy of Champions is right by it. I was like, oh, I'll check it out. And I'm playing it and it's like Sega Soccer Slam. It's like all these other great arcade soccer games that I've loved over the years, and I was so excited for it. Immediately shot up to one of my most anticipated games not made by Nintendo, and I was really excited for it. And then I got it last week, and it's terrible. It's horrendously awful, and I want to cry. That's how bad this game is.
Why is it bad?
Just
Neil?
Everything about it. The camera. Just all the little minutiae with the controls. It's just like I've never been so disappointed in a video game in my entire life.
I'm so happy because now I'm getting the review copy.
Yeah, and I pretty much took myself off the review because I realized that I can't write a biased review at this point because I'm just so disheartened with everything. I might even just quit right now with everything related to video games. That's how upset I am.
Do you have a balance board?
I do have a balance board.
Does it add anything to the game?
Not particularly. Pretty much the balance board just adds there's one mini game that you can do. It's like the freestyle mode where you're like kicking the soccer ball all around. It's kind of neat. I played it at E3.
Okay.
But it's nothing amazing.
Is Jade in the game?
Yes, Jade
I'm
is in the game.
I'm just sold. That's all I need.
All right. Well, Zach.
I haven't seen her for six years. We'll hear your thoughts
next time.
Yeah.
But moving on to a good soccer game on the Wii is FIFA 10, which is really just a fantastic game. It's kind of like Madden 10 in that it takes the you know, the simulation heavy aspect of the EA Sports games and makes it into this kind of weird combination of, you know, a little bit of arcade but it still retains all the rules and everything. And it's just a really fun game. I'm digging the art style. I'm pretty much like digging everything about it.
Cool.
Really, really good. And the review is written up. It's in editing right now. It should go up soon. I guess spoiling it, go read the review if you know, you haven't yet. I believe I'm giving it an 8.5 or a 9. Like, really, it's a fantastic game. There's a lot to do in it. It's very much, it's a Wii soccer game. Not exactly, you know, like a PS2 game with Waggle, which
is great. Is it everything the Pele game is not?
I wouldn't go that far because it's not really super arcadey, and like that's why like I think I'm actually gonna go back and play Mario Strikers Charged, just in the wake of this disappointment with Academy of Champions, because that's a really great example of an arcade soccer game on Wii. And I mean, for anyone that if anyone's into soccer and they like arcade games, go find Sega Soccer Slam because I've yet to play an arcade soccer game that is better than that.
That is a good game. I miss that game.
If you have an Xbox 360, it's on Xbox Originals, which is totally.
Oh, really? I'm gonna have to get that. I was too busy playing. Sega's Beach Spikers, which was their other really generic.
I never played that.
Really
was that
generic?
Was that any good?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I didn't play a ton of it, but I picked it up for like $10.
Yeah, that's when I originally got Soccer Slam. I think for like $15. It was just like, it looks fun, and then like I was blown away by it.
It might be the game that I played the most for $10.
I don't know. I think that would probably go. Well, I guess not $10, but I was actually playing. I was playing Excitebike, and then I ended up playing Boshi's Arcade, which is probably like my WiiWare game of the year. That's how much I played it.
Wow.
Boshi's
but moving
Arcade.
On. It was. It came out in like January.
Okay.
I like it a lot. But moving on to what else I've been reviewing, I've been reviewing the first DSi exclusive retail game. Or at least the first North American one. There might have been something that came out in Japan. And, you know, with its nifty little white cartridge, it's System Flaw, which is from a New Jersey publisher, Storm City Games. And pretty much what it does that makes it all DSi exclusive is that it's like a first-person shooter, except for the background uses the DSi camera, and it shows you the world around you. So, like, you have your radar on screen, and as you move the console around, the radar moves around. So basically, you have to you're like a turret, and you have to spin around in a circle, shooting things and move up and down. And it's kind of a neat little tech demo. But I'm finding that I don't really want to play it for more than 10 minutes. Like it gets kind of obnoxious. There's nothing really, it doesn't really do anything to keep you interested. It's just kill all the enemies or patrol for 2 minutes. It's there's just nothing. There's not much to it.
So they're kind of putting motion control on the DS with this.
Kind of. I don't really know how they do it. I'm not really sure on how they register all the movement. I'm not really good with all the technical aspect. I'm a writer, damn it, not a designer. But I mean, it's cool how they all do. It's like this really cool concept, but it's just the execution's kind of lacking. I really compare it to Scribblenauts, which, I mean, it's Scribblenauts and System Flaw have really cool ideas, but it's just when you put it into practice, it kind of turns out flat.
Now, do you think that these initial DSi exclusive games will be kind of like, remember when the DS first came out, there were a lot of tech demos for games.
Yeah.
Do you think that's how these first few DSi exclusive games will be? Developers trying to figure out what they can and can't do?
I would definitely think so. But, I mean, with a DSi exclusive game, what the hell do you really have that a regular DS doesn't have besides, I guess, a little more power and the cameras? And I have a feeling that you're not going to really see a lot of developers just taking advantage of the DSi because they have more memory.
Well, I'd like to see kind of a Link's Awakening kind of thing where the more memory gets you more dungeons.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. And they kind of have that a little bit. I think Ubisoft put out some bullshit cooking game that has some bonus recipes on DSi, but I think
that's on RFN.
I think that's more of a gimmick than anything else because I don't really know if there's any kind of technical limitation holding back that game.
I'm sure it's not.
Well, they could use the 256 megs of built-in storage to do game installs to lessen the loading time.
There you go.
Yeah, has anyone ever noticed that? How there's load times on some DS games? I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get
that's
it either.
Really
it's annoying. There are big, fat load times in the Tomb Raider Underworld on DSi, or DS.
Yeah, I know Quantum of Solace for DS also had load times, and I think Six Flags Fun Pile of Crap also had some load times. But as far as, I guess I'll finish up my part of what you're reviewing, as I was verbose with my sadness over Academy of Champions. But I should be getting Need for Speed Nitro and Food Network Wii. Both of them should be coming in tomorrow. I think they would have been here today, but it's Veterans Day that we're recording this.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I am actually kind of interested in Food Network for Wii.
Yeah, I played the demo at E3, and I mean, it was
kind of
fun. Oh
my gosh, I played that too. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, and when I was playing it, everyone would come up and they'd be like, oh man, is this the Food Network game? And the guy would be like, yeah, you want to play? And they'd be like, nah, and then they'd just walk away. Because there were two systems right next to each other. And I was playing on one and the other one was open. And probably 5 to 10 people came up, some in packs of 2 or 3, and they'd be like, oh damn, is this the Food Network? Yeah, you want to play? Nah, just later. That was also right near the Wii Cheer 2 booth. Where there
that's
was just like a circle, a bubble around the entire Wii Cheer section as people would just walk as far away as they could. And all the people there being like, come on, play the game.
Oh, wow. Okay, Zach, what are you reviewing?
I am reviewing Ben 10 Vilgax Attacks for the Wii. You'd think it would be crap. When I put it in.
I know, especially with the D3 publisher games. that I've been reviewing, like Secret Saturdays and Astro Boy.
Oh, the Secret Saturdays and Astro Boy. That's right. You hated that, too. But Ben 10's kind of cool. It kind of reminds me of Spyborgs. It's just a beat-em-up. It's a very simplistic beat-em-up. And what's kind of cool, the only hook, you know, if this weren't in the game, I'd hate its guts. But you can switch between 10 different alien bodies. And they all have context-specific actions. But they also perform differently. Like, there's a big kind of a bipedal ape dinosaur that's really strong, but he's slow. He can move heavy objects. Then you got this monkey who can climb pipes and spit spider webs. And, you know, then you got two guys who can glide long distances. So it's actually kind of cool how they mix it up.
Now, I remember I saw this game at some post-E3 event, and I think it was at E3, too. I don't know if anyone really played it from our site there. But it reminded me a lot of Cameo, which was like the Xbox 360 launch title.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Supposed to be on GameCube. Because you're switching between all the different aliens, much like you switched between the, I don't even remember what they were, the different creatures, or right. Like maybe they were elemental things. I don't know. But, I mean, it
Cameo's
seemed kind of fun, actually.
Is Ben 10 based on an anime or something? It sounds familiar.
It's a Cartoon Network show. And,
okay.
Isn't he older now?
Yeah, it's like season 2, and he's an older, he's a teenager or something, yeah. And you know, the saddest part of that game is Colonel Campbell from Metal Gear Solid is his uncle. It's just so weird hearing Colonel Campbell talk in a cartoon like that. But no, it's not a bad show, and I actually collect, when they're on sale at Fred Meyer, I buy the little alien action figures because they have some really cool designs.
Yeah, the aliens in that game look kind of neat.
Yeah,
they have cool character designs and everything. Not that the show is necessarily my bag, but
it's almost a Wind Waker aesthetic. Like
yeah.
Some of them I can see being in Wind Waker.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's why I like them. But the game's not crap, so I was surprised by that.
That's always a good surprise.
And the other game I'm reviewing is awesome. It's Space Invaders Extreme 2. And
is it extreme? Is it more extreme?
You know what?
Is it extremer?
They turn it up to 11.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
They do.
So this is light years beyond like the original.
This is like Space Invaders Extreme squared.
Well, I think that's probably where the name comes from.
Maybe, yes. Ooh, I see that. Yeah. Right on.
We've been saying it all wrong. Everyone has. It's actually
right.
Space Invaders Extreme Squared.
It's to the second.
Yeah, to the second power.
To the two.
But no, it's exactly the same as Space Invaders Extreme. Just some of the game mechanics have been tinkered with. I mean, if you've never played Space Invaders Extreme 1, you could go right out and buy Space Invaders Extreme 2. It would be almost the same experience, but you'd have a better time.
So what you're saying is the story doesn't pick up right where the first one left off.
No, there's surprisingly little continuity. I was amazed. I just love it. The only thing about it is I'm writing my review right now, and I got it in the mail like 2 days ago because there's nothing to do beyond, you know, score attack and time attack.
What else could you do in that type of game, though?
I mean, that's
like,
exactly
it seems
right.
Like it's based around.
For what it is, it's excellent, but you have to be willing to accept that.
Yeah, it's like if you're into that type of game, you're going to love it, but I don't think it's really going to win over people who don't give a crap about those types of games.
Right, right.
Does it work with the paddle controller that never was released in the US?
I'm pretty sure it still does.
It does, and in fact, there's an option in the multiplayer where you can seek out players who are using a paddle.
Oh, nice.
I do not have a paddle. It wouldn't work anyway because I have a DSi.
Yeah.
Kind of like the way the when you play Mario Kart Online, it tells you if you're using the Wii Wheel or not.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
They also do that in Excitebike World Rally where they show you if you're doing the normal controls or the classic controls.
Yeah,
sure.
But I really do love it. It's a great game. It goes up to 11. At one point in the game, it's so funny. It's like you enter a bonus mode. All the aliens turn yellow, and you just start shooting them, and they all turn into points that rain down from the sky. So it's like this orgasmic shower of points. And you get just a ridiculous score after that, and you're all hyped up, and let's do it again.
Speaking of Space Invaders Extreme 2 going to 11, how would this sound for a Ben 10 sequel? Ben 11.
I'm surprised they didn't do that for the second season. He can only fit 10 aliens on his silly little watch. He needs to upgrade that shit.
Ben 10, maybe like a Ben 10.1.
Maybe a Ben 10 squared,
yeah.
Where it's 100 aliens.
There you go.
I hope I'm doing my math right, or else it's going to be embarrassing.
Ben XI.
There you go. And then in the mail, I'm getting Soccer, the soccer game that Neil hates. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm getting Modern Warfare 2 on the DS, and I love the first game on the DS. N-Space did an incredible job with that.
Yeah, I think this is their third Call of Duty game on it, because they did Call of Duty 4, World at War, and now this. And, I mean, from what I've been hearing, it's like they've just been, you know, all right, with Call of Duty 4, there were some issues. They fixed them for World at War. All right, there were some issues there. They fixed them for Mobilize. And I think they're just getting into this nice rhythm of doing these games yearly, and I think it's turning out a better and better product.
Yeah, they did such a kick-ass job with the first Call of Duty 4, so I can't wait to see this one.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right,
so Andy, what have you got?
On Monday, I got my review copy of A Boy and His Blob.
Joy! Hug the blob! Hug the blob!
I have been hugging the crap out of that blob.
I love that blob.
Burn out that D-pad.
So yeah, I put about, I don't know, maybe 3 hours into this game so far or so. I think I played through exactly 25% of the game.
Yeah, because you finished the first world, and there's four worlds with 80 levels.
Yeah. Not each, because that would be ridiculous. No, it's great. It is really phenomenal. And I like it the more I play it. The visual style grows on me with every level that goes by. Every level that goes by, I see like a little bug flying in the background, or I hear the rain, and then I realize that there's rain on the screen. I didn't even see it at first. I heard it first.
Nice.
And that to me was
cool. That is an absolutely beautiful game. And like, that was another, I guess, E3 hype casualty. But in this case, it paid back everything in spades. Like, this game is fantastic. And I remember when I got to the end of the first world, I was like, you know what, this is really good. But if it just keeps up doing this, it'll still be fun. But I hope they add more to it. And they add more to it. And they continue to, like, add at least, like, more creativity to the game as you go through. And it's really just a fantastic experience from start to finish.
The difficulty level is certainly ramping up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that anything in the first world has been necessarily like all that hard, but I can really get a flavor for how it's going to get significantly
harder. It's not
harder.
The kind of game that's like ridiculously hard, but what makes it hard is when you try to go for all the treasure chests with then unlock like bonus levels. Like
is
that's
that like
kind of
Wario,
what makes it hard. It's
Wario Land?
I would definitely compare it to Wario Land, although more in like, you know, they're both hand drawn animation, not really in the style that they're played, but kind of more in the setup.
Yeah, but I mean with the treasures and everything, because you find treasures in
Wario
Land.
It's the same thing like that, where you know Wario Land Shake It was the same thing, where you could blow through it pretty easily, but if you wanted to go back and collect everything and get all the little like the treasure achievements and everything,
right,
then it became really hard. And I mean, Wario Land Shake It is amazing, and I think A Boy and His Blob is amazing as well.
I got all of the treasure chests in the first world, and as I was getting them and playing through the challenge levels, because that's the way that it works, is as you collect treasures in the regular levels, you unlock challenge levels. And the reason they're challenge levels is because instead of going back to the most recent piece of ground that you touched before you died, when you die, you go back to the start of the level every single time you die.
And there's some that are pretty short. Usually they're focused on, like, you know, they'll give you like two types of jelly beans.
Right.
Because, you know, in some, like, as you get further into the game or even early on, like, you have, you know, a full assortment of, like, you could have, like, up to, I think, like, 6 or 8 jelly beans that you could use at once. So there's, you know, kind of multiple ways to get through it.
Sure, sure.
But in the challenge levels, you need to be very creative with how you use everything. And some of them get really, really creative.
So I was, as I was playing through the challenge levels and unlocking the concept art, I was like, you know, this is kind of nice. It's kind of cool to see how it evolved. But then I got to the last piece of bonus art that you get for the first level, and it was a video. And
oh
I won't
my
spoil
God.
What's in the video. But when I saw that video, I literally I suddenly knew that I was going to be getting every piece of additional content in this game. It just, I'm not a completionist, but this game I'm gonna have to do it because I need to see all the videos if there's more of them, and I'm sure there is.
As far as I know, I haven't gotten quite everything in the game. I like beat the main story, and then I'm still working and getting all the different treasure chests. But I don't know if anything really tops that first video. But that first video is hysterical and so cute and adorable.
It's great. This is probably the epitome of an all-ages game, as far as I'm concerned.
Nice. Yeah, really I agree.
This game appeals to everyone.
Yeah, I don't really, like, I don't know if there's really a person alive, except for, like, people that are, you know, all into, like, you know, first-person shooters and stuff, that, like, I wouldn't be like, hey, you should play this game, it's really cool.
If Pixar made games, this would be a Pixar game.
Yeah, exactly.
I really want to get this, maybe one, because it's $40 right now, right?
I think so. I think that's what it came out as.
40.
Well, when it hits the Spyborg price, I'll definitely get it.
Yeah, I would recommend that you don't let this one pass you by.
No, it's on my list.
So let's go to the downloads. First up for WiiWare, we have Excitebike World Rally, Frogger Returns, Dragon Master Spellcaster, Carnival King, Aha, I Got It, Escape Game, and Family Card Games. Any of you guys play these?
No. I've been playing a lot of Excitebike World Rally. I mean, I was really pumped for this when it first got announced, and I'm loving the crap out of it because it's like the original Excitebike merged with Excitetruck and Excitebots, which is probably my favorite new, I guess, series or reinvention of a series this generation.
It does look good. I'm thinking about getting it.
Yeah, it's really good.
I picked it up on Monday and played a couple of games with Lucas Belichki, who you may notice is not on the show right now. Luke has left our fair website.
We could always just say there was an epic trade that went down in which me and Lauren were traded for Luke. So, I mean, that's pretty much what happened, just over the span of a month.
We're really pushing the salary cap over here.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Excitebike World Rally, I picked this up on Monday, and I gotta say, I'm also liking it quite a bit. I played online for a little bit. I played the single player pretty much through the first three levels.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I haven't done so much is I haven't taken it online yet, but that's more because of my limitations at college where the internet is a little dodgy whenever I go online. Like, for instance, it took me probably 20 minutes and 2 tries to download the stupid game.
Oh, wow.
But I've been playing a lot of the single-player mode, and I just, actually, right before recording, I didn't S-rank everything, but I'm in the last cup. And I have like a B and A ranks there, and I'm working through it. But I really, really like the way it plays.
So, are you playing with the classic controls or the tilt controls?
I tried the tilt controls, and it just, I don't know. It's Excitebike that way. It feels to me to be a more, you know, non-waggle experience. And I'm also doing it where it's the typical, I guess, just the side, like the head-on from the side view, as opposed to the new, like, tilted angles that they have. I tried those for a little while, but I don't know. It's just, I guess how I'm playing this game is I'm playing it old school. I'm not playing it new school, which I guess if I were playing it new school, it would probably be just as good, but it's with all the weird angles on the tilt.
Yeah, I've been using the classic control mostly, too. I don't think the tilt feels particularly natural
for this really
game.
Think it's, like, not. I mean, it might be as responsive, but for me, I guess just the way I'm playing the game, it's not as responsive.
Well, it kind of goes back to one of the problems with motion control in general is that it's not necessarily that it's imprecise. It's just really, really hard for you to make the motions with the precision with the same precision you can with the digital interface.
Well, I mean, that's the same thing. I mean, with another Nintendo classic being revamped for the Wii with Punch-Out is how they had the motion controls for punching, and I know, you know, it's perfectly fine, but if you're familiar at all with the original game, it's just like, for me, I couldn't wrap my mind around it. I had to play it with buttons.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems the isometric view in Excitebike is, it's weird. I don't dislike it, and I can play with it on, but I greatly prefer going back to the old side scroll.
Yeah, I like the sense of depth, like the depth perception with like just the head-on from the side mode as opposed to the other ones, because then I get like lost in the shuffle and I can't tell which is where, like which obstacle is where.
And have you guys tried the track editor at all?
I screwed around with it. I haven't really done anything of note, but I mean it looks really easy to use, and it has everything, all the tools that they made the game with pretty much are all there. So
I played with it a little bit, and what I was kind of surprised was that they really pretty much took the track editor, at least, you know, maybe I haven't gotten too far into it yet, but it seems like they pretty much took the track editor almost exactly as it was on the NES version and copied it with the whole letter system. And it seems to me like that's almost being intentionally archaic, because you could do it way easier than that now.
But I think just the like how that works, I mean, how the track editor worked in the original, which was really easy to use. And if you think about that, you know, that came out in the, what, like 86 or something, the mid to late 80s, and that's user-generated content way ahead of, you know, the modern era where it's all the rage now. And, I mean, I think it works fine. It worked fine 20 years ago. It works fine now.
I was just hoping to see maybe, like, a little, like a preview. Like, you hit a button, you hold on a button maybe, and it gives you a visual icon of each of the things you could pick, and then you can just pick that with a point.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was hoping for, but it's not like the one they gave us doesn't work. I was just
it's not like there's anything wrong with it. It's just that there's other ways how it could have used the system to its advantage.
Sure, yeah. Do you guys play any of the other games? I was kind of interested in Frogger, but I didn't get around to trying it out.
Yeah, I know this week, which was Excitebike Frogger and Dragon Master Spellcaster, which is a fun name to say, so I'll say it again, Dragon Master Spellcaster.
All three
of those games I was interested a little bit in. Frogger Returns, I mean, I've never, like, you know, it's not like I was popping quarters into machines all the time playing Frogger, but I always enjoyed that, and it looked like the remake. I mean, it seems cool, it just seems a little bit just a very straight remake of it with updated graphics, which I guess what else would you want from Frogger?
You know, do you need updated graphics in a Frogger game? It's Frogger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they have different levels and different obstacles, but
and
yeah,
I know
the
they have some new items
pretty much
too.
The same.
And the graphics look nice.
Yeah, they do. At least from what I saw, the screenshot.
Yeah, it's only $5. I don't really think you'd get like a virtual console arcade version for that cheap.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Dragon Master Spellcaster, I was really looking to get that. I mean, we had a preview up on the site where we worked with the developer Stickman Studios, and, you know, got a nice preview up there, and it looked interesting. And, you know, I was looking at all like the videos that came out when it came out, and I mean, it looked like this kind of like fun, like almost Panzer Dragoon kind of like fight, like, you know, dragon battling game.
Nice.
Sure.
And I was about to download it this morning, kind of for the purposes of this. It's only $5. I figured it was worthwhile. And then you know, something happened with the campus internet, and I wasn't able to download it. And then I went to class, came back, was like, oh, I'll go download it. And I noticed that there was a few reviews up now, and nothing good. It's like, apparently the game uses the nunchuck to move your dragon around, the motion control on the nunchuck to move your dragon around, which is a terrible, terrible idea, considering that, I think, Andy, you even mentioned the nunchuck's limitations on when you were on RFN one of the past 2 weeks, where you mentioned Wii Sports Resort and how with the archery, you can just flick the nunchuck to zoom in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The nunchuck motion control has always been really rudimentary.
Yeah, I mean, and it's intentionally so. I mean, the power is in the Wii Remote, but
yeah.
You don't want to have your movement of your character tied to moving the nunchuck around.
That's really awful. That's a horrible idea.
You know, the Panzer Dragoon game seemed like a good fit for the Wii. I don't know
why.
Yeah, there haven't been a whole lot. I mean, you think there'd be like, well, I mean, the rumor's always been a Star Fox game. I mean, Star Fox and Panzer Dragoon are pretty similar, so.
Yeah. I mean,
we haven't really seen a lot of that.
Well, I think the lesson to be learned from Dragon Master Spellcaster is that don't use the nunchuck motion for movement on anything. I think, you know, I remember in WarioWare Smooth Moves, it's been a while since I played, like, the main version of that game, but they had the little Star Fox, like, you know, like the boss micro game in that. And that worked really well. I remember that used the Wii Remote and you tilted it from side to side, and it was awesome. That was probably my favorite part about WarioWare besides the multiplayer.
Yeah.
And I'm still sad that we haven't seen that, you know, that wholehearted Nintendo effort into something like Star Fox.
Well, someday they'll release a kind of a nunchuck motion plus.
It's a glove that fits inside.
That's right.
You slip your nunchuck already inside.
Yeah. You have to. Well, okay. No. What you would have to do is you would have to plug the nunchuck into this device.
Right, and then plug that.
And then you would have to. There would be another cord that would then go
to the
nunchuck.
Plus.
It would go into the Wii Motion Plus and through the Motion Plus, and then go into the remote. So now, whenever you would want to use this Wii Motion and Nunchuck Plus whole thing, you would need to connect like 8 different things to get it to work.
It's the 32X all over again.
Yes.
Moving on to Virtual Console, we have Fighting Street, which was originally out on the Turbo CD. That would be the game that was the first in the Street Fighter 2 series. I think you can call it the Street Fighter 2 series.
Yeah, the Street Fighter 2 series. I mean, that's not really a fighting game, though. Isn't it like a beat-em-up?
It's a brawler.
No, it's a one-on-one fighter. I have Street Fighter 1 on a PS2 compilation, but I haven't put a lot of time into it because it's not a very good game.
Yeah, it's Street Fighter 2 is really the start of that series.
Yeah, yeah.
It really, really is.
There's no reason to play this game, in my opinion.
Moving on from Fighting Street, we have a handful or a couple of Sega Master System games and the original R-Type and Wonder Boy 3.
Oh, you mean Dragon's Curse? Did they come out on like TurboGrafx like 2 years ago? They're the same damn game. And this is the inferior version of that game.
How many Wonder Boy titles do we have now?
I think Chris Kohler over at Wired Game Life once did. I mean, this was like a year or two ago, so there's probably been like 8 more added. But how, like, with the Wonder Boy and Adventure Island and like Dragon's Curse, like they're all kind of linked, and I think there might be like at the least 3 versions of one game.
Wow,
it's a
really interesting history with like all those different games.
But why make us pay $5, $8 a pop for a slightly changed version of it?
But that's the funny is that pretty much if you want to save a dollar, you buy the Master System version, or you can just pay $6 instead of $5 and get Dragon's Curse, which is pretty much the exact same game, just without the Wonder Boy title, and it looks better and plays better. Yep.
They should release all the different versions of Primal Rage. I would buy them all.
And as far as R-Type goes, I'll just give a big yawn for that, because R-Type is never I'm not really a big fan of those kind of shmup games, and R-Type,
I remember playing R-Type. It wasn't as balls out as some of the other games of its type.
And then
it's like the 50th shoot 'em up on the Virtual Console at this point. I don't
50th.
I just
You're
don't
being
care.
Generous, man.
That's true. We have like 300 games or so now.
Yeah,
maybe we might be
in the trips with this one. But the last Virtual Console game is a Commodore 64 game, which probably predates me by about 10 to 15 years. So I got nothing.
It's Cybernoid. The game we're talking about is Cybernoid for the Commodore 64. And I got to be honest, there are actually a handful of Commodore 64 games that I would like to see on Virtual Console.
And
none of them are there yet. Such as Blueprint, Gorf, Lazarian, Omega Race, Radar Rat Race.
I know Lindemann. John Lindemann, director of NWR, bowed to him and everything. I know he's a big fan of, I mean, with the Commodore 64 games, I know he talks about Last Ninja 2, I think is very good, which came out recently. Or even the first one. I don't think they hold up as well, but I think they were good back in the day.
I actually did grow up with a Commodore 64. It was my very first video game system before I had an NES. Yeah. So there are some games on Commodore 64 I would buy, but I haven't seen any of them on the Virtual Console.
Does it have fake wood paneling?
I don't think it had fake wood. That's the Atari 2600.
Oh, okay, I'm getting my old systems
confused.
Maybe
5200. Commodore 64 was a lovely shade of gray with a rainbow logo.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I've played those before. Yep. Nice.
Good old C64, man.
With the bright blue screen. Ah, yes. Anyway, moving on to DSiWare, we've got Sparkle Snapshot.
Oh, joy!
Viking Invasion.
Tower Defense.
Battle of Giants Dragons. I'm not sure if that's the larger series of Battle of Giants, but, you know, whatever. There's a colon in the title. Bomberman Blitz and Electroplankton, which is actually 5 releases. It's different modes of the original DS game split into different 200-point bite-sized portions.
Oh, what the heck? Just put them all on the same game.
Yeah. They were all one title, and now they are 5. Yeah. Yay.
Well, I mean, considering that Electroplankton was so hard to find when it was even out, I mean, this is a good way to kind of preserve it, I guess. I don't really know if I'm ever going to buy it. I might get the Hand and Bow one just because, you know, I like Brawl, so.
I'm just so disappointed in the DSi where the Mario versus Donkey Kong game was the first and, let's be honest, only real game on the DSiWare so far.
I would argue that the art style games, I think, are fantastic.
Maybe when you put them all together.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I haven't played any DSiWare games yet, but, you know, aside from hardcore Sudoku fans, I don't know that I've seen a whole lot that would.
I mean, you also have Thorium Wars, which is it's a retail game, pretty much, on DSiWare.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no complaints with DSiWare, but that probably also directly correlates to the fact that I'm in love with the art style games.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, when are we going to have a Game Boy Virtual Console?
Yeah, that would be so awesome. But,
it seems like an obvious idea. Maybe, yeah. I don't know why they don't.
I'm pretty sure Battle of Giants Dragons is like maybe a toned down retail release. And I don't really know much about that game. It's kind of like I hear something that sounds generic about fantasy or sci-fi, and I usually just ignore it. And Viking Invasion, I know, is just kind of like a simplistic tower defense game, which yeah, I don't think is really that bad. I just think it's, you know, there's tons of tower defense games everywhere at this point.
Yeah, that genre has kind of taken off.
Yeah, it really has.
And then Bomberman Blitz, I think, I mean, there's like a Bomberman thing everywhere, and this is a nice little $5 multiplayer version of it, which Bomberman multiplayer is a lot of fun, and I think if you have a bunch of friends with, if you have a bunch of friends with DSiWare or with DSIs that all pick it up, like, that would be a great game to play.
So I was looking on my Twitter feed a couple days ago, and someone had bought Bomberman Blitz for their DSi, and I don't remember who it was, if it was someone from staff or if it was someone elsewhere. But they mentioned that the game doesn't have a download play for Bomberman Blitz.
Instant
and I got to
fail.
Thinking, like, how many of these downloadable games support single system multiplayer?
I think Dr. Mario might not. I think you might be able to have the ability to send a demo. One of the art style games might have... Yeah, one of the art style games does have single card multiplayer. I think Box 10, or is that the name of it? Base 10, that's the name
Base
of 10, it.
Yeah.
There might be a few others, but those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head.
But it's sort of one of those things where do you think that they are discouraged or not interested in putting in single system multiplayer? I can't call it single card, I guess, because there's no card involved.
Yeah.
Just because the games are cheap and they kind of want everyone to buy
them.
I
would definitely imagine so. I think the only good thing about having single card multiplayer is that it's kind of a way to show off DSiWare to regular DS owners.
Yeah, and... I tend to agree. But then you have to make all of your DSiWare... Well, I guess not all of your DSiWare. You have to make sure your DSiWare game is compatible on regular DS, even though no DS owners will be purchasing it. So I wonder if that's sort of a resources that they don't want to spare. I don't know. There's a lot of things that go into that.
Yeah.
So moving on.
Yay!
So moving on from the download section, let's go over to new releases. And I don't know that we have a whole lot to say about this particular section of releases. I know next time we... record a podcast, we will, because there's a fairly large game coming out in the next couple of weeks.
What? New Super Mario Brothers Wii!
You may have heard of Super Mario Brothers Wii. I don't know. For this episode, we have Pro Evolution Soccer 2010, another soccer game for you soccer fans out there, I guess. Call of Duty Modern Warfare Reflex, we talked about that earlier. Harvest Moon Animal Parade for the Wii, Lego Rock Band for the Wii and DS, Academy of Champions for the Wii. Band Hero for the Wii and the DS. I'll be talking about that probably next time on my What's Your Review in segment. Rabbids Go Home for the Wii and DS. I'm unsure. Is this just another minigame compilation?
No,
or is
Rabbids
actually
Go Home
a new
is
game?
Like fantastic. It's a comedy adventure that's like, it's kind of like this weird like Katamari platformer. And I actually, Pedro Hernandez is going to be on the review, but Rabbids Go Home wound up being mailed to my house, so. It came in on, like, a Friday, and I wasn't going to be able to send it out until Monday. So I opened it up, and it was like, oh, I'll play a little bit of it. And, you know, asked Pedro. I'm not that kind of jerk. But but I sat down, and I played with it with Lauren, you know, my fiancé and contributing writer, Lauren Lewandowski. And she, like, there's like, a Super Mario Galaxy co-op mode in it that is actually a lot of fun because the second player who's pointing at the screen can actually kind of help you out more in kind of in the way of Super Mario Galaxy, but I think it works better in this game. And it's really, you have two rabbits and they have a shopping cart and one's grabbing stuff and the other one's pushing them around and you go fast and you loop around. You have to like shout at humans to get their clothes off so you can collect them. It's got this really weird and zany, I guess maybe it's French style sense of humor. And it's really like I love this game. It's fantastic.
Isn't it Katamari Damacy with rabbids? I mean that is cool.
It pretty much is. I would say it's more of a platformer than Katamari is, because it's not like there's a strict time limit, which I think is a big part of Katamari is that there's usually that time limit and that goal you have to get. Right. This it's kind of like more like collect a bunch of crap, but. The game. I think the best thing I can say about this game is that when I mailed the game off to Pedro this Monday, I actually went out later that day and bought it.
Nice.
Very nice.
And there's a rabbit in your remote.
Yes, and it's crazy. And there's all these little codes. Like I went online today and got all the codes for it because you can get like an assassin rabbit, a prince rabbit, Sadly, no Jade Rabbit. You can get a Splinter Cell one. A Leonardo from TMNT.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's that's what my little rabbit is right now. He's Leo from
wow.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You're making me cry over here.
And there's also Best Buy Rabbids, because I guess there was some deal with Best Buy. And Capri Sun plays a role in the game.
Rabbids go product.
If you ask the Best Buy Rabbit for help, he will just sneer at you.
Yeah, there's a Geek Squad one and like a regular Best Buy worker. It's kind of funny.
Wow.
The Geek Squad one will blow up your computer.
So we also have Cop the Recruit for the DS.
James is going to love that game.
Apparently there's a lot of, like, I guess, I don't even
bad
know.
Bad translations.
Just terrible translation. English, if you will.
I told him it sounds like this year's disaster day of crisis.
I mean, it doesn't really seem like it was... It doesn't really look like a bad game. It's like a 3D Grand Theft Auto style game on the DS, and it looked impressive from what I've seen about it.
You know, one of the most recent issues of Nintendo Power did a really big spotlight on this game. They're saying that it looks pretty good based on that, but I haven't seen any video of it yet.
I just think the box art looks silly.
Yeah, it does, and the whole idea of it's really silly because it's like you're like, you know, some cop that used to, like, be a criminal, and now he's a cap.
I think that's a show on USA.
And I think he has, like, blonde hair, and, like, he looks like a pretty boy.
He's Leon Kennedy.
Moving on from COD 3 Recruit, we have Call of Duty Modern Warfare Mobilized for DS. Which I actually mistaken earlier. We actually had Call of Duty Modern Warfare Reflex for the Wii earlier. Call of Duty Modern Warfare Mobilized is the one we actually talked about earlier.
So
Modern Warfare
DS
Reflex
one.
Is just the Call of Duty 4 remake for Wii.
It looks like
there's no
ass.
Moving on. but I guess one last note on the new releases is Harvest Moon Animal Parade, which, once again, if you read my lovely fiance's work on the site, it's pretty much all Harvest Moon related, because she's the Harvest Moon editor.
She kind of likes
Harvest Moon. Yeah, she loved the crap out of the game at E3 and has pretty much been waiting for it since before then. And first it was supposed to come out in September, got delayed to October, then it was set for November 10th. So we go out on Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Day, and we stop by a GameStop. Like, we went out and got something to eat, and we stopped by a GameStop at about 7 o'clock at night, and there was, like, probably a line about 20 or 30 people deep in line to buy Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I was like, where the hell were you people at midnight or, like, any other time of the day? What the hell are you doing here? So then we left that GameStop, and, you know, we went to another one, and then we were told that, oh, it ships today. It'll be in tomorrow.
That's what they tell
so
me at my GameStops.
Yeah, so we go home all upset, and then today, November 11th? And once again, we call the GameStops, and we get told that, oh no, it ships today. So what the hell? Like, is this game just... This is like Africa all over again. Africa got, like, was announced that it came out and is in stores and then got delayed to 1 week and then another week.
Do you have Africa?
I actually got the import version of it because when I was at GameX in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago, they had an import guy there, and I noticed that from the first day I was there to the second day, Hakuna Matata, the Japanese version of
what a wonderful
Africa,
phrase.
Yeah, but the Japanese version of Africa dropped from $40 to $30 while it was there,
wow.
And apparently it is all in English, so I just picked it up and I don't regret that. It's a fun little game.
On the Wii or the PS3?
PS3.
Oh, I
it's
want
not
that
out
so
on
bad.
Wii.
I want that game so bad.
All right, so let's move on to the news stories. We got four news stories we're going to talk about tonight. The first one up is that Nintendo is apparently planning on offering, for select games, WiiWare demos in Japan. What do you guys think about that?
About freaking time.
I think it's about damn time. I think it's about a year and a half too late.
And Europe will get it next year, and North America will get it when the Wii 2 is announced.
You know, one of the things that Iwata said when he announced this was that he really doesn't think that demos is going to cure WiiWare sales problems, but he felt compelled to try it anyway. And that sort of attitude kind of makes me think he doesn't really have any interest in demos. He just wants to do it so that people will stop talking about it.
Nintendo has historically not really seemed to be a fan of demos.
Nope.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why, like, this move kind of surprises me, but I think it's more like they have to do something.
Well, I don't. I think his quote shows that he's not a real big WiiWare proponent.
Yeah. And I know a lot. I know a lot of developers are already singing its praises. I know. I follow the Twitter of Over the Top Games, the development studio that made Nyx Quest, and they like posted a link to a story about it. And we're like, it's about time.
Well, you know, I know that if I, there are a lot of WiiWare games that I've got an eye on, but I don't want to pay $10, play it and hate it.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, like Lost Winds, everyone says it's like a 3-hour game, but it's really freaking good. Well, give me a demo, and if it is really freaking good, then yeah, I'll buy it. But
well, the only problem with Lost Winds is that the demo would be the entire game.
The demo would be
so
the entire
short.
Game, yeah. But, you know, any game, like Mega Man 9 was an insta-buy for me, but if I wasn't a Mega Man guy, I'd want a demo of that.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, I think Xbox Live Arcade kind of has it the right way where they have the demos there. That is made or broke games for me on Xbox Live. They're like, there was some I had no interest in that I played the demo and was, like, floored by.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, when I got the Turtles in Time Re-Shell demo on PSN, I was like, eh, it's not the same.
Yeah, pretty much. Same with me. And, you know, they Mega Man 9 represents one of the few titles that was released both on Xbox Live Arcade and WiiWare.
Right.
So it's not like it would have been difficult for them to make a demo
for the
WiiWare version because they already have a demo of the game.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they're finally doing it. I hope it comes over here. If it does, I'm sure they'll be getting a lot more of my money.
Absolutely. I tend to agree. Moving on from that story, we have a handful of stories about the Zelda franchise. First up, The Legend of Zelda for Wii, the untitled future Zelda release, has been confirmed to use Motion Plus. And I guess this was pretty much kind of confirmed earlier, but it was still contingent on the sales of Wii Motion Plus as a unit.
Yeah, I mean, that's why when this news came out, I was like, is that really news? Like, Miyamoto kind of said it at E3, but he didn't. Like, I think there were some interviews where Miyamoto was like, well, you know, it depends on how, you know, Wii Sports Resort does. And other ones where he's like, we're using Motion Plus, damn it.
You know, one wonders if some of the Wii Resort games, specifically like Archery, were implemented in Wii Sports Resort kind of as a test for how it would
work.
Well,
I remember with Swordplay and Archery, I know Miyamoto said with both of those that keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
You know, if you're interested in a Zelda with Motion Plus, keep an eye on those two modes, as you'll probably see something similar to that.
Maybe
Zelda
will get a magical frisbee in the next game.
Oh, that...
Disc armor, maybe?
There you go. Hey, that would be kind of cool, like a Rygar thing.
Yeah, too bad that Rygar game was apparently ass.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Well, you know, I just got Wii Sports Resort about a week ago or so. I talked about it on RFN last week, and I gotta say, the way they've implemented sword fighting in Wii Sports Resort is not good enough for a Zelda title,
in my opinion.
Yeah,
there's too much flailing.
They would need to do some serious tweaking. Yeah, it's a whole lot of flailing. It doesn't really seem to be that good at knowing when you've parried and when you haven't, when you've blocked and when you haven't.
Yeah.
But it's still a lot of fun, and I think that if you're gonna take it into a Zelda game, it needs to still be fun, but it also needs to be a hell of a lot more accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So moving on from that, we also have a couple of pieces of information about Spirit Tracks. One of them is that apparently this game is going to be supposedly the first Zelda game where you can actually control Zelda.
But not really.
I mean, obviously, I guess it's not the first Zelda game, but like Melee and Brawl, like, hello, she's a playable character. And even in other ones, I mean, weren't you able to control her? I mean,
she's on screen. She's helping you out, like in Wind Waker at the very end. She's just shooting game.
Yeah.
But you don't really control her. Her spirit goes up Link's skirt, and
yeah, that was a weird trailer.
And it goes into the stupid.
And that's a tunic, sir. That's a tunic.
I'm sorry. His kilt. He's got a kilt.
A Scottish Legend of Zelda. I would totally
would
be all
would
over
buy
that.
I would buy that so fast.
He'll, like, eat haggis.
And you have to blow into the DSi, into the mic to use the bagpipes.
Oh,
wait,
God.
They've got that in the game. But it's not really Zelda, and that really kind of pisses me off, because I would like to play as Zelda.
Yeah, no, when I first heard this news, I was like, oh, that's really cool. And it's like, oh, she's controlling the Phantom, which isn't really that bad. Like, I I actually kind of played the demo through less jaded eyes, because I definitely had jaded eyes at E3 about this game.
Who
And
had
I played
jaded
it at,
eyes, sir? Please.
I think you did most of all, but you helped color my eyes a different color.
Oh, interesting.
Like, maybe rose-colored glasses,
They're
because you
black
were just
and
like, it's
hateful
ass.
now.
But, I mean, the train section was inexcusably boring. But anyway, like, I enjoyed the gameplay with the Phantom, but I mean, it's just like, well, I don't know really why. Like, okay, Zelda controls it. I guess maybe there's some sort of story explanation for it that'll be cool. But I mean, whatever.
Zelda's body gets, I don't know. What are they going to
And
do
then
with it this time? They'll turn it into stone like they did in the other one.
Well, and there's also the spirit pipes, which I guess are bagpipes that you blow into the microphone and touch the touch screen to play in order to unlock dungeons. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, I think they're kind of stretching with the musical instruments, and honestly, I have no desire to talk
Me
to or
neither.
blow on my DS.
Have fun with Band Hero, sir.
That's different though, because I have no intention whatsoever of playing that game outside of my house.
Right.
Like, I will play that in the comfort of my own basement where I play regular Rock Band, and that
You
will
will
be
have all the
that.
windows shut so no one can see you.
Absolutely.
Have either of you guys played Mario and Luigi 3?
Yes.
Okay, you know the scenes where you blow into the mic to use Bowser's fire breath?
Yeah, that's how you do a
That's
microphone
what this
blowing
is
thing.
gonna be like in Zelda, and that I don't like using that because it's not real accurate. Sometimes you'll get a great, and sometimes you'll get an okay.
Mario and Luigi 3, how they did it, like, just because it wasn't a focus of the game. Like, I liked that. It kind of, like, I liked those big Bowser fights.
Oh, I did too. I
But
just didn't like blowing into the
I think
mic to use the fire.
with Spirit Tracks, the blowing into the microphone becomes such an integral part of the game with just different weapons you get, the
Yeah.
stupid instruments and everything. And that's where I think you run into problems. When you have blowing into the microphone kind of a rare occurrence, it's okay.
Sure.
They should just make an Ocarina DSiWare game.
That's kind of what I thought when I heard about the spirit pipes. I was like, why not make it an ocarina? We did it already in Ocarina of Time.
Okay, so I'm going to tie these next two stories together because they're kind of similar. Both of them are sort of doom and gloom about sales of the Wii and software sales. So Iwata has come out and said that the declining Wii sales in Japan are not healthy,
No, sir,
and
they are not.
the EA chief executive officer has come out and said he's been.
John Riccitiello.
Yes, John Riccitiello has he's come out and said he's frustrated with the fact that the EA games they've made for the Wii, which have been pretty well critically received, have not been selling as well as they should based on the install base.
Everyone who's listening to this, go out and buy Madden 10 for Wii because it's awesome.
Or the golf game.
Or Tiger Woods, or
Tiger Woods, yeah.
FIFA, or Dead Space, or all the other really good games that EA has made for Wii. Boom Blocks, like.
EA makes good Wii games.
We have a pretty large talkback thread in this in the forums.
Yeah.
And I mean, my one thing is that I think that a lot of these, why they're frustrated by these low Wii sales, I mean, I guess comes back to them a little bit because they're not exactly advertising their games as vehemently as, you know, Nintendo does. And I think a lot of the reason of that has to do with the kind of the crappy economy. And I think it's just they don't have these large ad budgets where it's just like, ah, Dead Space, let's just fucking have it all over Spike TV and everything. It'll be great. They don't have the money for this, so they're kind of forced to, you know, well, you know, we could put minimal effort into Dead Space. It'll sell a little bit. It's not, maybe it'll sell well. We can hope for word of mouth, and that's what they do. And I think that's what they do with Boom Blocks. That's what they do with Dead Space. I mean, that's kind of what they. I think with Tiger Woods and Madden and FIFA, it's more of a known commodity. So I guess in that case, I mean, with Tiger Woods, they did a good job of hyping the Motion Plus stuff, but they kind of, I guess, you know, crap the bed when it comes to marketing Madden 10 as this, you know, this new version of the game, and same with FIFA 10 and how they're, you know, new and different and not like the HD versions.
Sure,
Yeah.
sure. Well, I mean, one of the things that I seem to recall was intimated by the EA, by Riccitiello, is that he sort of put some of the blame at Nintendo's
Well, it's
feet.
because Nintendo's games are so damn good.
Yeah, that was one of the most contentious things, and that made the talkback thread so long was a lot of people took exception to Nintendo supposedly taking the blame for these low software sales.
Well, I don't know. I think there was a good point made on RFN when I was on, is that, you know, Nintendo really pimps their games out so much, you know,
They're
compared
good
to
at it. They
everybody
know what they're
else.
doing.
They really, yeah, they're focused when Wii Sports Resort's kind of a weird one. I haven't seen any TV commercials for that.
I don't know if they really needed as much with that. Like, I think they did advertise Wii Sports Resort, and I think the sales show that. But it was kind of just like, oh, new Wii Sports.
But the point is, they really advertise the hell out of their first-party games, but they don't do it for anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, and the other companies might not have the budget for it.
I think what might be good for Nintendo, at least as far as, you know, with them not happy with these sales, is I think they need to do a lot more of that, you know, where they team up with a third party, and even if they don't really have a hand in the game, just help pimp that game, like sure. What they're doing with Dragon Quest 9 and 10. I mean, they've
pretty
much pledged
that. Now, they're
doing
that because they know those will be big sellers everywhere.
But, I mean, really, has there been a Dragon Quest game recently in America that has been off the charts? I don't think Dragon Quest 8 for PS2 really sold amazingly. I mean, I don't think they're selling poorly, as evidenced by the fact that we're getting these DS remakes and everything. And I hope they sold well enough, because I really want the sixth one.
Yeah.
But I think with Dragon Quest, I think they're actually making this concerted effort to help pimp that in America to give that big sales. And I think they're going to do the same thing with Monster Hunter 3. And I think, or is it Monster Hunter Tri? I don't know what the hell it's called.
Whatever it's called.
Well, I mean, if they're going to release a special bundle of the console just for one game, That's pimping. I mean, that's
yeah.
pretty strong support from the home team.
And I think they need to do more of that, especially with EA, who's putting a really friggin' solid effort into the system. Like, I mean, there's one thing to do, you know, they did have Motion Plus come out early to go alongside Tiger Woods, and they had the bundle with it. But I know from talking to EA about that at different events and E3, like, with the bundle for Tiger Woods, the reason why there's just the bundle for Tiger Woods and not one for that in Grand Slam Tennis has everything to do with the fact that they only had a limited amount of Motion Pluses to even bundle, so they had to kind of pick their battles, and they figured Tiger Woods would be the bigger seller, I guess, and it was.
It sold me.
Yeah, like Tiger Woods is awesome.
Yeah, I want to get that game too.
Not a big fan of Grand Slam Tennis, but like really, like EA's output, especially in the past year on Wii, has been really good, and I hope it doesn't take a nosedive because of the lagging sales.
If EA can't make money selling Wii software, can anybody but Nintendo make money selling Wii software?
I don't think so. Mm. I think Ubisoft is the other
Maybe
company.
Activision?
I think Ubisoft is the other company to watch, and Activision as well. And I think, you know, with Ubisoft, I think the Rabbids games are usually solid sellers. I think Red Steel 2 is going to be a huge game in Ubisoft's Wii outlook. With Activision, I think, you know, Guitar Hero 5 sold very well on Wii. I think Band Hero, the lead SKU, is the Wii version.
I think that
Activision, you know, that they're reaching success on the Wii, and I think EA is too. I just don't think they're reaching success with everything because, you know, I guess as far as the EA partners, you know, Beatles Rock Band sold very well on Wii. And EA is consistently, like, especially in the past couple months, they take up easily, you know, half of the top 10 in the NPDs. So they're making money. At least they're making more money than everyone else. I would imagine.
Well, I guess
so.
EA has to ask themselves if they're not happy with the way their software is selling on the Wii, could they be making more money developing software for the other consoles?
Yeah.
That's the question, really, is if they're not happy with the way their software is selling on Wii, would their software be selling better if it was designed for the HD gaming crowd on 360?
And that's the thing that, like, I mean, I'm kind of worried a little bit because of how much I liked Madden 10 for Wii. And I think there's been reports recently of layoffs at EA. I don't think it's really confirmed who exactly was laid off, but
I think
I heard
1,500 people.
Yeah, I mean, well, wow. I know I meant from like which parts of EA,
I see.
I think Tiburon, the developers of the Madden game, who hopped on this year to develop the Wii version, I think they lost people, and I hope those people weren't the people that worked on the Wii version, and I have a bad feeling that they might be because the Wii version of Madden 10 sold probably the worst out of every version, and that really disheartens me. I loved that game and still do. I actually played it today.
They should let go of the people that made the iPhone version of Madden because it's pretty awful.
Oh, God. Mm. But I hope that like the Wii version of Madden shows up somewhere, and I know they're kind of doing that XBLA and PSN game, Madden NFL Arcade, that is pretty much the 5-on-5 mode from the Wii version for HD consoles, which is pretty dope.
Interesting.
I'm interested in that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to pick that one.
I'll probably be picking it up right away. I'll bust out my PS3 or Xbox for that one.
Well, the Wii sales slow down. I almost wonder if it's just reached the point in Japan anyway where people who want a Wii have one.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And maybe they're going to try to do the Apple iPhone approach, or I guess at this point we could say the Nintendo DS approach, where there's like a new version each year. And
yeah.
I think they're reaching this great success with the DS. And even if the Wii sales do die down, and even if it is weak, the DS will still carry them, much like the Game Boy Advance carried them during the GameCube years.
True. And Reggie knocked down any hope of a Wii HD Wii.
Wait, what?
Well, I do want to point out that there was denials of the DS Lite 10 days before it was announced.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, I believe there was question of the DSi right before it came out. I think Nintendo is the kind of company where even if they're going to announce something, they're not going to be like, well, that might be the case. It's, you know, I know Sony did a lot of that with the PS3 Slim, where before that announcement, they were talking about like, you know, we don't report on. They don't report
and the
on
PSP
rumors.
Go as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was big with Sony. Was the, you know, it's something to look into the future, but we're not working on anything right now. And then like a week later,
yep,
they had the PSP Go.
Well, that's a good parallel because, you know, the PS3 sales were awful, and then the PS3 Slim launches, and bang, the sales really pick up.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what this year's or this month's MPD show for the PS3.
Well, what
I mean, I think we're getting to a very important time just for the second half of this generation, which is obviously going to be extended, because you know the Wii is kind of at a point where they need to do something to get their sales back up.
That's
PS3
what I'm saying.
Is at a point where they're surging ahead and they got to keep that momentum. The 360 is at a point where they need to get momentum too, and I think that's probably a lot of the reason why, if you look at anything related to Modern Warfare 2, Microsoft's name is plastered all over it.
And also they have Project Natal coming up.
Yeah, which is now pretty much set for a November 2010 release.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't think we're going to see a Wii HD anytime in the next year or two, simply because it would segment the market.
I think we're going to see something from Nintendo. I think we're going to see something hardware related.
We're getting. I would imagine we're getting the Black Wii early next year.
I mean, yeah.
But is that enough? I mean, is the Black Wii really going to do anything?
I don't think it's going to do much, but I think it's kind of a stopgap, and I think we'll probably hear about Wii HD in 2011.
It's already out in Japan, the Black one.
Yeah, and it's coming to Europe.
Right.
It's only a matter of time. I think we're going to see it in January or February.
PS3 Slim spiked sales of PS3s because the one thing that was the barrier from people owning a PS3 was removed. And I don't know that there's been a barrier for people owning Wii. People have picked up the Wii because there wasn't a barrier.
Yeah,
for that.
And I think we'll see it. We'll see if the price drop really worked this month, as far as the drop to 200. And I think that's going to be key, is the what Nintendo does from here. And I think New Super Mario Brothers is a huge, huge title. I think there's a lot riding on it.
I do too, but it's not going to sell more than Modern Warfare 2.
Well, I don't think God. I don't think the Bible has sold more copies than Modern Warfare 2 at this point.
Not yet.
Like those numbers are going to be very scary when they come out, because I think Modern Warfare 2 is going to blow the crap out of everything.
Even Halo 3?
Oh, yeah.
I think this launch was bigger than Halo 3.
Oh, easily. Oh, yeah. It broke records for the most pre-orders of any piece of software ever.
You also have to think with this and Halo 3 is Halo 3 was only for Xbox 360.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, Reggie's head statement was, New Super Mario Bros. Wii will sell more than one of the systems, Modern Warfare 2. Worldwide sales of New Super Mario Bros. Wii will be better than one version of, like, the North American release of Call of Duty 2. So, in that sense, maybe.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the New Super Mario Bros. Wii is going to be another one of those long tail sales for Nintendo.
Oh, it will.
And I think it's gonna sell very well this holiday season, because it's a marquee title. I know. I mean, using the litmus test of, you know, people that I know that aren't really huge gamers, that's really the game that people have asked me about.
But also, I think it's gonna be kind of like the Wii version, the Wii's Mario Kart DS.
Yeah, or the Wii's New Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because New Super Mario Brothers, you know, that popped up in the top 10 list, I think, like this year.
Jesus, that game.
That came out 3 years ago. Same with Mario Kart DS, that came out even longer.
Much better game.
So that's going to do it here on NWR Newscast Episode 5.
Yep, yep.
This has been Zach, Neil, and Andy.
Hi.
You can check out the other great NWR podcasts, Radio for Nintendo and Radio Trivia Podcast Edition. Those come out every so often, RFN Weekly and Radio Trivia every other week. And
just about.
We'll be back in 2 weeks, maybe a little bit early to get you something to listen to while you're driving back home for Thanksgiving.
Actually, if we have enough people on staff to get new Super Mario Brothers Wii early, I know I'll be going to a New York City event at Nintendo World Store on Saturday, so I'll be getting the game a day early, damn it.
My middle finger is raised.
But I know I would very much like to get a couple of staffers together that got the game maybe on like Monday or Tuesday, and probably Tuesday, and record a special episode all about New Super Mario Brothers Wii. So
excellent.
Hopefully, look out for that. I think it's fun. I know I'm very, very excited for this game, and I know it's pretty much the game for Wii.
Excellent.
My wife won't play this with me, so it'll just be single player.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, Zach. We should just play online, no problem.
It would be too hard. There's not enough horsepower. We couldn't include Peach because then we'd have to write a program for her dress.
You can thank Jonathan Metz for that being brought up at E3.
All you have to do is just duct tape your GameCube next to the Wii. It'll be like 3.5 GameCubes, and then you can do online play.
Dude, plug it in like through the bottom. There's all those weird ass plugs there. Yep. You know what? Maybe a final aside is that you know how in all the past Nintendo consoles, there's been all these ridiculous things that like never get used or are used for one thing.
Or they keep announcing add-ons that never see the light of day.
Yeah, like you know how like N64 had those. Like even the original Nintendo have all sorts of weird like ports on the bottom.
Disc drives.
But the Wii has none of those. The Wii just has what it's needed, and that's it. And I never really thought about that until right now.
It reminds me of Apple. They made as few ports on the thing as possible.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I think it works.
I think so
this
too.
This is your power cord, and this is your motion control cord, and that's it.
And this is your obscured GameCube hub.
this is your red, yellow, blue cord. Red, yellow, green. That's all you get.
It's not green, Zach.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That'll do it for here, NWR Newscast. We'll see you next week for the new Super Mario Brothers Wii launch episode, perhaps. And otherwise, we'll see you in 2 weeks for episode 6. Thanks, guys.
Yay! All right, later. And you'll be like, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Well, tell me what you want.